بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. وقال تعالى: وإن تطيعوه تهتدوا. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في معنى الحديث: إن الدين بدأ غريبا وسيعود غريبا، فطوبى للغرباء. وفي رواية: الذين يصلحون ما أفسد الناس من سنتي من بعدي، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected honorable scholars, dear brothers and sisters, students of deen, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah thumma alhamdulillah, Allah has chosen all of us to sit in this blessed gathering, a gathering in which we are reviving the discussion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reviving the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within our hearts. But my respected friends, what was the purpose of this gathering? Why did we have this retreat? And why is this retreat coming to an end soon tomorrow? What is the take-home message? What is the message that we all, including myself at the very top of this, need to achieve at the end of this retreat? If this message is received well and taken home, then this is successful. And if this message is not taken home, then subhanAllah, we have, Allahu A'lam, whether we have done any good or we've wasted our time. A person works from morning to evening, and if he forgets to take his paycheck, well, what's the point of that? We have done a lot of effort, volunteers and speakers and attendees, by making such sacrifices. But my respected friends, if we do not take the paycheck, then subhanAllah, we will be the biggest losers. What is that paycheck? What is that gift? What is that reward that we all have to ensure that we take home? My respected friends, it is the sincere dedication and intention and resolve to live our life according to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Without that, there can be, never was, never will be, any type of success. Respected friends, there are two aspects of the sunnah. One aspect of the sunnah is that complete success lies in sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says in the Quran, وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. If you obey the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you shall get guidance. The opposite of that means, if you do not obey Allah, or if you do not obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you and I shall never get guidance. Ittiba, ita'a means in every aspect of our life, from dressing to eating to sleeping, to our dealing with our wife and our children and our parents and our neighbors, to our dealing with animals and plants, financial transactions, ibadat, acts of worship, beliefs, aqa'id, social etiquette, every aspect of our life must be governed by the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If that is accomplished, then no matter what a person has of material wealth or he doesn't, it has absolutely no bearings on his success or failure. If he's got sunnah within his life, most definitely he shall be successful. This is the first aspect. The second most important aspect after this is the firm belief and the conviction that the best way, listen to these words carefully, the best way to do any action is to do it in the manner that the Prophet ﷺ did. Meaning it is impossible to take an action that was done by the Prophet during the time of the Prophet, by him or by his companions. It is impossible to do it in a manner different than what he did and attain any type of perfection. That is something that has hit the ceiling. There's no such thing as improvement. It is the most sublime, the most perfect method of doing anything. Meaning, the way he slept is the best possible way you can sleep. The way he ate is the best possible way you can eat. The way he did miswak is the best possible way to maintain dental hygiene. The way he, subhanAllah, interacted with his children, grandchildren, and his wives is the best possible way to balance the deen and the dunya. Balance the family and deen. All these questions that we are keep on asking each other. If you want to know who played the balancing act the best, it was the Prophet ﷺ. By no means are we ever able to achieve a higher level of perfection than the Prophet ﷺ. This is a point of aqidah. We must believe in this. That the Prophet ﷺ definitely reached 100% in every aspect of his life. So once you have that perfection, you and I can never imagine of reinventing the wheel. It's not simply reinventing the wheel. It is, subhanAllah, it is actually, if you attempt to do it, you will ruin it. You have to do it, and I have to do it, the way he did. This is what the Quran says. قُلْ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ If you love Allah. Now, which Muslim in his right mind will say, I don't love Allah? What kind of Muslim? He can't be a Muslim. He says, I don't love Allah. Obviously, you say, brother, then, yani, how can you say you're a Muslim? Whoever, of whatever denomination they may, he may claim himself to follow, whatever madhab, whatever group, anywhere in the world. If he claims to be a Muslim, he definitely means that he supposedly loves Allah. The Prophet ﷺ, in this ayah is being told by Allah, tell them, if you claim that you love Allah, then you have to follow me. Ittiba means, you following someone, in, you know, like a little brother follows the elder brother? SubhanAllah, through snow, through a muddy place or whatnot, he's going to put his footsteps in the exact same place where the one in front went. He's not going to try to come up with a new route in the jungle. I remember when we used to go hiking, subhanAllah, as little kids sometimes in the jungle behind our house, there are thorns and all sorts of stuff. One brother walk in the front with a stick, for example, and move forward. If I ever wanted to be, for example, a little adventurous, and as little brothers usually are, want to deviate from that path, then after a few minutes you'd have to call out, I'm stuck, I got thorns all around here, I got all these huge branches where I can't jump over. Now what? Your fault. Why did you go on a path that wasn't treaded? There was someone behind you already clearing the shrubs and bushes for you to follow behind. You thought you're going to be smart and going to get to the end quicker? Absolutely not. You're going to end up in big problems. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he led the way forward. And his footsteps are there. Every aspect. Just mashallah, in the fiqh class here, when Mufti Azaz, he brought with himself with sanad, yani with a chain of narration, back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a replica, not the exact same thing, but the replica of the bowl used by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to perform wudu. And the students, part of the fiqh class demonstration, took that bowl, just small bowl, small cereal bowl, subhanAllah, and performed wudu with it, to know how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sunnah in performing wudu. Not just washing three times, but the amount of water he utilized. That is the preservation that has been done. To the amount of how many strands of hair the Prophet ﷺ had on his beard that were white. Can you believe it, my friends? That's been recorded. Every single aspect of the Prophet ﷺ. Ittiba' means you follow him in everything. Not that, oh, we're in the masjid. So brother, I'm gonna act in a certain manner. But as soon as next Saturday night there's a wedding, then you won't even recognize me. You won't even recognize me. You'll say, by who are you? So, subhanAllah, the same person sitting in the front soft, mashallah, say, wah, 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 wah. But this is Saturday night, it's party night, it's shadi night, it's mehndi night, it's this night, that night. The deen, the sunnah was for the masjid, for the i'tikaf, for the retreat. And alhamdulillah, I practiced it. I even did, bought a new miswak or got it as a gift and I did it. But now we're in festivity mode. I can't possibly bring the sunnah there. This is what we're talking about, not acceptable manner. If we genuinely love the Prophet ﷺ, I should rather say, if you genuinely love Allah, without which there's no Islam, there's no hope for Jannah if a person says, I don't like Allah. There's no hope for Jannah if a person says, I don't like Allah. So we all like Allah. But Allah has made a very clear principle. If you like Allah and you want to stay in Islam, the only way to reach Allah is via the Prophet ﷺ. There is absolutely no other door. To the extent, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, we know what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said about him. He said, لو كان بعدي نبيا لكان عمر. Hypothetically speaking, if the doors of prophethood were to be opened, and if anyone else were to be a prophet after me, it would have been Umar ibn al-Khattab. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is sitting. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, a simple man he is, mashallah, down to earth, he is reading a book. He's reading a book. And Rasul sallam is sitting there, and he's reading. He says, Ya Rasulullah, look! You know how we read bestsellers, New York Times bestseller, subhanAllah, some non-Muslim, his book is selling real well in Barnes & Noble, and whatnot, and we come, we're impressed. You've got all the books of tafsir, all the books of hadith, all the books of our mashayikh there. But a person is not even willing to go, spend $5 to go buy it, but he'll go buy and download $25 e-book. Because why? It was a New York Times bestseller.
It's got to be good. But he doesn't believe in Allah and His Rasul. You're going to get the way to lead a successful life by a man who doesn't believe in Allah and His Rasul? Really? When all those mashayikh and ulama and tabi'een who led the most successful lives, their books and the Qur'an, the key to success lies, subhanAllah, collecting dust. Not that we don't take wisdom from others. Most definitely we shall get it. But success and the crux of our life, cream of it, you have to get it from the deen. So Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is reading something interesting. And what is it? It is not a non-Muslim's book, my friends. It is not an atheist or a materialist who's written an awesome book. It is a book of Allah, but it was revealed previously. Revealed to who? Revealed to Musa alayhi salam. All he is doing is simply reading from the Torah in front of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's it. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, his friend, is next to Umar radiallahu anhu. He's listening. But he's looking at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the color of his face is changing. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then signals to Umar, "Oh Umar, look what's going on over here. You have no idea what's going on." He raises his eyes and he looks at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his face is full of anger. Oh. Immediately Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu goes down on his knees seeking forgiveness. رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا. I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, with deen of Islam as my religion, and Muhammad as my prophet. I made a mistake of even referring to anything in front of your presence. And then the Prophet ﷺ said this powerful statement. Something along the lines, Umar, you are reading the book of Musa, book of Allah revealed to him in front of me. Wallahi, لو كان موسى حيا. I swear, yani the mafhum, near meaning of this hadith, I'm saying not the exact words. If Musa, that Nabi upon whom this book was revealed, if he himself were to be alive now, ما وسعه إلا اتباع أمري. The only way he would get success were to be by following my way of life. Even Musa, Nabi Allah, cannot enter Jannah if he were to be living in this era unless and until he follows my way of life. My friends, how can we ever attain success if we neglect the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why is the reason of neglect? Number one, possibly absence of love. Just no love. Today, subhanallah, we get teary-eyed over other things. We get emotional about other things. How often do we get emotional about the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? How often do we desire to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam go to Madinah al-Munawwara or see him in our dream? How often are we excited of reciting Salatu Salam? That love, where's that love? That love must be nurtured. Why is there no love? Because we don't know our Nabi. Really? We don't know our Nabi. Like a mother or father, when the father sees a son neglecting his mother, now he's 15-year-old and he's speaking ill to his mom. What does the father say? Oh son, you have no idea what your mother had done for you. SubhanAllah. You have no idea how much your mother suffered for you. How dare you speak to her like this? He really doesn't, because he was a little child. He wasn't there. He wasn't understanding what pregnancy was like. He doesn't understand what delivery was like. He doesn't remember all that his mother did for him. So he really, unfortunately, doesn't love her the way he ought to. Or same thing goes for the father. We don't know our Nabi. We don't know what he did for us. Hence that love is not there. So number two, the pressure of society. What are people going to say? What are relatives going to say? What is so-and-so going to say? My respected friends, that is a shame. Hassan Basri, if I'm not mistaken, said, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een would go out of their way to practice a sunnah because it was a sunnah. And today, we leave an action because it is a sunnah. They used to go out of their way to practice something because it was sunnah. And today, we leave things because it's just a sunnah. Do you have any idea? Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, one day he's on his camel or on his conveyance. He's going with his khadim, with a servant. And they're going through an open field. All of a sudden, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he bows down a little bit. He humbles himself a little bit. And as though there is something that is blocking his head, or you should say a branch or a tree or something that he'd have to lower his head in front of. So the khadim was surprised. There's nothing there. It's an open air. Why are you doing like this? So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says that I was traveling with our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, and we passed by this route. And on this road here, there was a tree. And I remember when we passed by this area, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also had lowered his head. Subhanallah. There's no tree anymore. But that's what you call love. At a time when Rasulullah ﷺ, at one another instance, a Sahabi got off, he was riding, he got off of his conveyance and went to the field and then came back very quickly. He said, "What happened? That was so quick." He said, "I was traveling with the Prophet and he got off here to relieve himself. I didn't have to relieve myself, but I didn't want to miss this." Subhanallah. That is what you call ittiba. These are two wings. Hear me clearly. These are two wings. One is mahabbah and one is ittiba'. We cannot succeed with just one. Just like a jet, you can't succeed. Even as someone explained, even a mosquito. And we're not talking about airplanes and huge massive eagles. Even a mosquito cannot fly with one wing. You have to have two wings. These are two aspects. Love for the Prophet and ittiba', following the sunnah of the Prophet. We have extremes within the ummah. There are people who genuinely love the Prophet. You say Rasulullah, they'll cry. But you look at their lifestyle, 100% opposite of what the Prophet led. All sorts of additions and subtractions and innovations which the Prophet would cringe if you were to see. And then there's another group of people who very robotically follow the sunnah, but there's no love. Harshness. There's no love. As though this is a sin to get emotional. As though it's a sin to feel a soft spot in your heart. As though it's a sin to cry. These are two extremes. Our deen is to being both of them. Love the Prophet ﷺ to the maximum, but also make sure our life is along with that. That's why there's an instance, and I'll end with this, peer pressure. There's an instance that is mentioned in certain books, we've heard from our scholars, that there was a Sahabi who went to go visit, who was with a group of Sahaba visiting the court of the Romans or the Persians, of the so-called sophisticated societies of that day. And they were at the table eating food. They were invited. And as they're eating food, a morsel fell from the plate onto the floor or onto the table. So immediately that Sahabi went ahead to go pick up that morsel to put into his mouth, to eat it. And the ones who were around him, something along the lines of, they elbowed him or they said, "Subhanallah, what are you doing? These people are going to think you're hungry." Like what is, unfortunately, what is the culture over here? Is it the culture in our country to lick up a plate clean? Do you do that in a restaurant? Tell me. You're supposed to leave things in there. Na'udhu billah. You're supposed to throw away food to show that you're not greedy. But our Nabi used to lick it clean. The risk. Here it's opposite. You're supposed to show that I don't need it. Ajeeb. Rasulullah said, "A'akulu kama ya'kulu al-abd." I eat the way a slave eats. A slave is a beggar. A slave says, "Whatever you give me, even a coarse piece of bread, I'll take it happily." That's our Nabi. That's how he ate. He didn't lean against the wall and eat. He used to humble. He didn't eat like this. What is the method? Table manners? We all know. Put on the table, you know, the serviette or whatever on the chest and sit like this. Yes, am I not right? You're supposed to, and there in the European culture, those kids when they used to be trained, they used to put a vest on them so that they don't bend over, to teach them to keep your back upright when you're eating. Allahu Akbar. Diametrically opposed to our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That when you eat, humble yourself. Lower yourself. Because this is my Allah's rizq. This is my Allah's risk. I have to show humbleness in front of my Allah's risk. My respected friends, when he heard a comment, someone saying, "How dare you eat like this in front of these Romans and these Persians or whatnot?" What are they going to say? And he said this beautiful statement. He said, "You expect me, atruku sunnat habibi, you expect me to leave the sunnah of my beloved for these fools? Absolutely not. My sunnah, my habib, is the way to go." My respected friends, you and I, this is what is holding us back. Log kya kahenge? What are people going to say? If I grow out my beard, what is my uncle going to say? If I shave my head after Hajj and Umrah, what are people going to say? If I start doing miswak, what are people going to say? If I don't have music and dancing and in my wedding, what are people going to say? Left and right, this is the answer. Log, 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 log. Wallahi, are these people going to come with you and me in the grave? Is that what you're going to tell when Allah says, "Mada taqulu," when the angel says, "Ma taqulu fi hadha ar-rajul," what do you say about this individual? I.e. the Prophet ﷺ. We're going to say that, go ask the people. My respected friends, how long are we going to keep on giving this excuse of family, relatives? There is a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwun lakum fahdharuhum." Allah says, indeed there are people from amongst your own family, your own wives and husbands, and your own children. Allah's words, not mine. Aduwwun lakum. They are your enemies. Fahdharuhum.
protect yourself from them. That wife and that husband, that child, that uncle, that auntie that comes between me and my Nabi Sunnah is my enemy, is your enemy. You don't realize that today, very soon you and I will be in our graves and it'll become very apparent. That anyone who stopped me, stopped you from practicing our Sunnah, definitely was nothing less than an enemy. Not only will they suffer, but they will make us suffer because of the peer pressure they put upon us. So where do we stand? Where do we stand? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna ad-deen bada'a ghariba." Deen began as a strange entity. Deen was not something that was widely accepted. Today people keep on complaining, "Oh, we're being harassed. Oh, they're asking us questions at the airport, this and that." My friends, have you read the seerah? When was the last time you and I picked up a book of seerah? When was the last time you and I read the story of Taif? The 13 years of Mecca, the 3 years of boycott, the running around in Mina, the being spat at in the valleys of Mecca every day. It being held for a couple of hours at the airport, being pulled over for being a Muslim. SubhanAllah, where is the comparison? Where is the history of Islam? Islam is a struggle. Deen began as a very strange entity. People didn't like Deen. People didn't like the Prophet ﷺ when he started proclaiming Haq. Yes, before that, mashallah, sweet, sweet, everyone loved him. If you don't act like a Muslim, everyone will love you. With your beautiful smiles, you'll get everyone attracted to you. But with those beautiful smiles, if you say, "I'm a Muslim and I'm going to smile beautifully," things change. Don't worry, don't get fazed. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna ad-deena bada'a ghariba." Deen began as a strange entity. وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا. And before the end of times, Islam and deen will once again become strange. Yes. Not just strange amongst the non-Muslims, strange amongst the Muslims themselves. Who are the biggest barriers for us practicing sunnah? Is it our non-Muslim who said, "Brother, why are you dressed like this?" My father is sitting here, he'll tell you this. Dressing in a thobe, going to hospital for the past 30, mashallah, many years. He's a witness to the fact. No non-Muslim physician or nurse has ever commented, "Why are you dressed like this? Why are you wearing a kufi? Why do you have a white beard?" Or this. Instead, they are so impressed by that. If there's anyone who's passed comments, it's fellow Muslim physicians. It's fellow Muslim, you know, staff at the hospital. Who is the biggest barrier? Our own Muslims. Who is the one who's holding our women from wearing hijab or dressing themselves modestly? Where do the fashion amongst the girls come from? Not from non-Muslims. It's fellow Muslim girls. From parents who want them to be, yani subhanAllah, forward or whatever you may call it. So Rasulullah ﷺ had already prophesied this, that deen will become strange. Live with it. The deen will become strange, meaning the people of deen. When you say, "Brother, this is the sunnah," really? I'm not sure, man. You're running on an outdated version. That's what they say. You're running on an outdated version. This separation of women and men, subhanAllah, what is this? Where are we living, yahi? What's going on? Why all of this? This is outdated. We have to be with the times. Everything be with the times. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that. If you really love your Nabi, and if you love his sunnah, then be prepared to be ostracized in your own community. You hear my words. Be prepared to be ostracized within your own community. And then he said, Allahu Akbar. فَطُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَى. Glad tidings for the strangers. Glad tidings for the strangers. From Rasulullah's own lips. And then he explained this in another hadith. Who are those strangers? الَّذِينَ يُصْلِحُونَ مَا أَفْسَدَ النَّاسُ مِنْ سُنَّةِ مِنْ بَعْدِي أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. They are those individuals who stood up, who are not afraid of anyone, and who went to go rectify whatever wrong they saw in the sunnah, whatever manipulation and changes were being made into the sunnah. In the name of Islam today, sunnah is being distorted. They stood up and they corrected that. Because of that, what happened? People began to ostracize them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No problem, I'm with you." My friends, I want to end with one ayah of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, regarding the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, almost 8 years before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very quickly, "وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ." Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not but a prophet. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. Many prophets have gone before him. This happened in Uhud when the news, false news, spread that the Prophet passed away or was made shaheed. And some of the Sahaba and some of the others began to a little get shaky. What's going to happen? Some of the hypocrites said, "This is the perfect chance to run." Allah said, "أَفَإِن مَاتَ. If he dies, أَوْ قُتِلْ. Or gets killed, إِنْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. Are you going to turn back? Are you going to leave because he's not there with you?
Allah says, وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ. Remember, whosoever turns back on his heels and leaves the battlefield or leaves Islam because Nabi is not there, فَلَنْ يَضُرَ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. He will not be able to harm Allah in the least. No atheist, no ex-Muslim, no ex-Muslim who writes a book, no ex-Muslim who makes a big massive Facebook page. Wallahi, it doesn't harm Allah in the least. It doesn't harm deen. It doesn't harm Allah. It doesn't harm Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He does nothing but harm himself. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever does any good, he does it for himself. وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا. And whoever does any sin, the punishment of that, the sin of that will be against him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared the Sahaba 8 years before the demise, that even if the Nabi is not there, you have to stand firm. Your sunnah of your Nabi is there. If you leave the sunnah because the Nabi is not there, then most definitely you'll be a failure. MashaAllah, we do not have the Prophet ﷺ with us, but we have these beautiful gatherings where the discussion of the Prophet is taking place. We have books behind you that are about discuss every aspect of the Prophet ﷺ. You have majalis where we're going to recite salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ shortly. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is alive. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promise us? وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ. Listen to this ayah. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Allah shall not punish. Nafi al-shan. They say, there's two types of nafi. Two types of nafi. Two types of negation. One is a very straightforward negation. I didn't eat. لَمْ أَكُلْ. And one is a very mu'akkad, very emphasized negation. A very emphasized negation has been used here. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ. Allah shall never, shall not punish you and them. Any Muslims, وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ, so long as you are amidst them. The ulama explain that this means that as long as the Prophet ﷺ was amidst the Sahaba and the mushrikeen of Mecca, Allah decided not to wipe them out. But it also means as long as the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is alive within the Muslim community, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them. This is the only way out, my friends. This is the only way out of a burning building. The building is on fire. You just heard the poems of our ustad. It's all over. Every single exit door is blocked. This fire, you know, it's a whatever you call it, five alarm fire, whatever you call that. You know, it's a smoke fire everywhere. People are dying left and right. There's only one exit. If you sit there and scratch your head and say, I'm not sure about that, you're going to go. I'm going to fall. One way out, that's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. I ask Almighty Allah Jalla Jalalu to allow all of us in this city right now to make sincere tawbah for every sunnah that we have neglected in our past life. Say ameen. Say astaghfirullah. That Ya Allah, please forgive me for every sunnah that I have neglected in my life. Ameen. And O Allah, allow me in the remainder of my life to revive the sunnah in every aspect of my life. O Allah, I ask you that allow me to remain firm and not to get swayed by family pressure, by friends pressure, or by anyone's pressure. Allow me to become from those who the Prophet ﷺ said, I wish I could meet my brothers. And the Sahaba said, are we not your brothers? He said, no, you are my companions. My brothers are those who are going to come much later and are going to believe in my message and are going to have faith in me without ever having seen me. Do you not want to be the brother of the Prophet? Do we not want to be those who get the glad tidings and drink from the blessed hands of the Prophet ﷺ, the Hawd al-Kawthar? Of course we do. The way out is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. I ask Almighty Allah to make this not just words that are hollow, but allow the speaker himself, number one, and all of those who are listening here, and inshallah, the message of whoever may listen in the future, allow all to align ourselves to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen.